The Lord be with you. I want to begin this morning with prayer. Our office in Campus Ministries feels heavy hearts over the violence in Ferguson, and the only thing we can think to do is pray. That's our responsibility as Christians. When we see suffering and brokenness in the world, is to bring it before the Lord in prayer. So before anything else, I want us to listen to a part of a psalm and then enter into prayer for our world. Let's pray. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Emmanuel, God with us, here on the eve of Advent and on the heels of so much violence and strife in Ferguson, we pray that you will be with us, that you will be in Ferguson, that your Holy Spirit will be moving there. Our hearts ache when we see anger and injustice, when we see discord rather than peace. And so we pray, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen one, that you would bring your reconciling power to Ferguson, Missouri, and to the whole United States and the world. Seeing that kind of violence makes us know that your kingdom has not yet come in its fullness, and so we plead for that, Lord. We want that river whose streams make glad the city of God, the river where a tree grows next to it, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. We pray that you would place those leaves upon Ferguson and bring healing. Give wisdom to the activists, the politicians, the police officers, the community members there. Bring peace to their hearts. Make things right, Lord. And we pray for our own students who are returning home to places that are also in uproar and rioting. Our own students who feel like going home isn't safe. Our own students here at Hope who feel that same sense of injustice. Lord, let your Spirit move. In Christ's name, amen. Now, at the risk of sounding flippant after that, I want to tell you something that I learned about cattle this summer. So, if cattle are given a pasture to graze in, a fenced-in pasture, you'll often find them grazing at the margins of that pasture, even sticking their head through barbed wire or knocking down the fences if they need to. And it's not because the cattle are badly behaved cattle. It's because they have an innate sense of nutrients and where they need to go to get it. And often the pastures themselves have such uniform, poor grass that they can't get the nutrients they need from it. And so they push to the edges where there's weeds and wild clover and all sorts of diverse, vibrant plant life. And they go there to be fed. That image is helpful as we think about where Christianity takes root and where Christianity is most vibrant. It's often at the margins. So keep that image in mind of the pastor as we read Acts 11, beginning at verse 19. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it's on page 895. I looked this up so that you could follow. Hear the word of the Lord. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one but the Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Greeks also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine over all the world. And this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, the ones in Antioch, determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. The Christianity there is most vibrant at the margins. Remember that Jews did not associate with non-Jews. It was too risky. They might become unclean or get lured away by some sexy pagan gods and forget their faith. And the earliest Christians had that same attitude because the earliest Christians were converts from Judaism. So when these believers start going out into the world, they keep preaching only to Jews. Except that the Holy Spirit is starting to stir in their hearts. He has been poured upon them at Pentecost, and now he's changing something in them. Changing something that makes them know that God's grace is for the Gentile, the Greek, the non-Jew also. And the men who are preaching to these non-Jews, they, like Philip, who preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then Peter, who preaches to Cornelius and his household, they understand that stirring that the Spirit is doing in their hearts. They understand that God is shifting something, is making space in their imaginations for the broadness of his gospel. And the remarkable thing to me about this is where these men are coming from. If you were to look at a map of this area, Jerusalem is to the east of the Mediterranean Sea. Antioch is several hundred miles north. And then Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean. And Cyrene is this city along the northern coast of Africa. The men who are willing to preach to the non-Jews are not from Jerusalem, from the center of Christianity. They're from this island, Cyprus, and from Cyrene, the northern coast of Africa. they themselves come from the margins. And their identity makes them somehow more attuned to the movement of the Holy Spirit, more ready to feel the hand of the Lord with them, pushing out toward the edges, pushing toward the non-Jews. Their identity as those from the margins allows them to preach to those who are also on the margins. And Christianity takes root there. The people in Antioch become believers. They start calling themselves Christians, little Christs. And then this other really remarkable thing happens. They've only been Christians for about a year. That's how long Paul and Barnabas have been with them. When these other Christians from Jerusalem, from the center, come to them and say, there's going to be a huge, huge famine. And the Christians in Antioch don't start stocking up their canned goods in their pantry to brace themselves for this. They give to the church in Jerusalem. They offer what they have. The church in the center asks for help from the church on the margins, and the church on the margins responds with aid. This is a radical inversion of our idea of mission, where we often think the church at the center has help to give to those on the margins, but this story says the church at the center is asking for that help, and the church at the edges has life to give back to the center. Imagine if we, Christians in Holland, Michigan, turned to our brothers and sisters in India, in China, in Guatemala, and Peru, and said, we need your help. And what if they turned to us and offered that aid in return? And we do need it. In many ways, North America is like that pasture that's lacking nutrients, where the vitality has gone out of the church, and we need to press to the edges and seek out God's vibrant work there. And I invite you to do that in one way next semester. The very first weekend back from Christmas break is the Veritas Forum. And this year, the Veritas Forum's theme is world Christianity. There are Christian leaders coming from India and Africa and Latin America to speak to us. They are coming from the margins and offering us aid, telling us what God is doing in their contexts. This is extraordinarily important. We need to be like those cattle, pressing to the edges, saying, what do you have to offer? You have something more that we need. So I invite you to come with me next January to listen, to take a posture of humble reception and receive the gifts of God's work in the church at the margins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace and safety and have a great Thanksgiving.